rewards. We want to talk about rewards just a little bit as they are taught from our Father's Word. That is to say, the thoughts, the analogies, and the facts of rewards. Because you know what? We're supposed to be receiving some of those now. And if you're not, there's always a reason why. And unless we go to the Word, well, it's rather difficult to understand why maybe we're not being rewarded. Of course, faith has a great deal to do with this step of receiving or putting yourself in a position of receiving awards. I guess first, I think it might help if I told you what the word reward or rewards would be in the Hebrew, as we're going to discover here in the 44th chapter of Genesis, if you wish to turn there. And I'll put a little southern ting to it, so maybe you see the irony. It's shalam, okay? And shalam it is, too. Not shalom, but shalam. It's real easy to remember that particular word, because, hey, it should be important to you. That's one of the reasons you serve the Father rather than just simply serving for love for Him, is for the reward. Everybody wants to know, basically, what's in this for me? And you want to always remember that when you're teaching. I know it's a little strong, but quite frankly, no one will gain interest in anything if they cannot see a position or a reward in it for them. That's just human nature. It's also common sense, all right? Because the eternity is a beautiful place, and the ultimate rewards are fantastic. But you should have peace of mind in this earth today. And in finding that peace of mind, then you find happiness. And with happiness comes blessings. Faith has a great deal to do with it. We're told, don't have blind faith. Well, I got some really kind of sad news for you, if that's your thought. You should always use common sense. But you see, our Father knows so much, so very much, that there's no way you can know all that. He knows what He's doing. And sometimes you don't. Therefore, we must follow Him using the utmost common sense. I think I like that sentence. Utmost common sense that we possess, and then leave it in His hands, because He knows what He's doing. I chose to start this a place where someone was crying, "You rewarded kindness with evil." I'm going to take the story of Joseph. You know what his brothers did to him. God blessed Joseph. And in a sense, God hardened their hearts and they sold him into captivity. They sold him into slavery. But you see, inasmuch as Joseph had already had these visions from God, Joseph was a type of Savior for his people. Because indeed it would be his ability to beat the system that would save his people. I would dare say Joseph did not know totally what was happening, but he had faith enough to believe and still worship God. And I doubt that any of his brothers realized that they could do such a dastardly thing, that they would sell their own flesh and blood, their father's favorite, into slavery. So, within this, let's learn a lesson, for it's real easy today, as one of God's elect, possibly, to say, why is this happening to me? Why am I being rewarded evil for it is apparent to me? I don't deserve all this when I'm a servant of God. And that's when you're kind of about to get out of control. Because if you have faith, that's where the blind part comes in. It's called love, quite frankly. But you love Him enough to know when you've done your best, He can do it. He can cut it. We have a can-do type father, and he'll take care of the rest. So turn with me, if you would, as we get into our Father's Word, Genesis chapter 44. Remember the setting. Joseph is now the ruler under Pharaoh of all Egypt. And he has set aside a lot of tonnage of grains and other things in good years. And his family's starving back in their own country. And they had made one trip there for grain, and he told them they had to bring their younger brother Benjamin, which their father still grieved because he was the favorite, Joseph, son the wife that he so loved. And Rachel, I'll say it in a minute. I'm almost saying Rebecca, and that won't work. Okay? But how he loved her and how he loved his son. And fathers are not supposed to be partial. So you see, there was enough flack going all around for there to be feelings. But should we trust God? I mean, he had said, these are my people. I'm going to use these people to accomplish what I must with. Well, he's kind of done the same with you. Father uses people to accomplish what he will. But he must have a person that's pliable clay. And by that I mean clay that's already not set up so hard you can't mold it just a little bit. All right? That it can't give and take just a little bit to gain a richer and deeper understanding. And I feel sorry for you if you've come to that place in your life where you say, yes, I know everything. I've read God's Word through and I understand it completely. You are deceived indeed. Indeed deceived. If that is your opinion. You're ignorant. That's what's wrong with you. And that's why you're not blessed, and that's why you won't be receiving any rewards. I can testify to the fact that after 40, I forget how many years of hard study. Now, I've studied before that, but considerably. But I mean in hard study. I haven't come to that point yet. Maybe I'm slow. Maybe my memory isn't good enough or something. But Father only gives us what He would have us for the time, and the Word is pregnant. It grows. It matures. And you take that Word and you use it, or you're worthless. In our Father's eyes, you're absolutely worthless. If you don't do anything with His Word, I would say, what are you good for? You can answer it, nothing. Just to get along in this world. Well, if that's all you can muster, friend, your time is getting pretty short. Because this old world time is reaching that point where it's about to pass by us. And every sign of prophecy resounds that fact, and it rings from the corners of this earth. Okay, so here we got the brothers. Let's pick it up, chapter 44, verse 1. And he commanded, being Joseph, the steward, that's to say his Egyptian steward, of his house, saying, fill the men's sacks with food, as much as they can carry, and put every man's money in his sack's mouth. In other words, you stick what they're supposed to pay us back in there. And put my cup, boy, this means Joseph's own cup. I mean, we're talking about the head man. Put my cup, the silver cup, in the sack's mouth of the youngest, that would be Benjamin, and his corn money. And he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. What Joseph really wants to know, and it's all right to be human, he wants to know if they're going to sell old Benjamin the way they did him. If when they go out there and find that cup, he's going to demand that he have Benjamin as a slave. And he wants to know if the rest of them will sell Benjamin to save their hides the way they had sold him. Now you know that, and that's what underlies this. They didn't. They didn't. They did not know this. 3, as soon as the morning was light, the men were sent away, they and their asses. 4. And when they were gone out of the city, and not yet far off, Joseph didn't want them to get too far out of hand, Joseph said unto his steward, Up! Follow after the men, and when thou dost overtake them, say unto them, Wherefore have ye rewarded shalom? Rewarded evil for good. Is not this it in which my Lord drinketh, and whereby indeed he divineth? Ye have done evil in this thing. Now, you know, the gentleman had matured considerably by this time. And I'm sure when they were stopped, and those sacks were opened, and their old father was back home, already he had fretted about sending Benjamin, that they knew that it wouldn't do them any good to go back without Benjamin, because the old man would have probably sold all. He wouldn't have sold them, but it would have killed him. And they loved him. So when they opened those sacks, they hadn't put that money in there. They had not put the cup in there. But they were guilty because it was there. I want you to think about your own life. I didn't do it. I'm not guilty. Surely I have done a good thing, but I've been rewarded evil from God. God, why did you allow this to happen? It was to save a people, number one. All right? You see, your father knows more than man does. And the pain and the anger that went through those older brothers' hearts as they saw that silver vessel in little old Benjamin's sack of grain. And even the money he was supposed to have spent for the grain. You know what they did? They immediately returned and begged that they be placed in slavery and let the boy go. And Joseph, being that type of savior, identifies himself at that time. And there's quite a homecoming. And through this, our Father, who is in control, was able to save those people that he had coveted, had made the covenant with, fed them, and they were able to return far increased over what they were. Why? Because God used Joseph, and Joseph was smart enough that he worked within a foreign nation. He was sharper than the serpent and was able to be far more blessed than anyone in Egypt, because he beat the system working within it. He took it over. God, of course, his hand making that possible. What is the mark of a wise person, so wise as Joseph? Be wiser than the serpent. Don't play his game. Beat him at it. Force him. Well, let's take our own ministry in the world at this time. Very few people 40 years ago would have ever thought that the straight word of God, without any hinges, could be taught on national television. It takes wisdom to work within the system and force it to provide your license, your way, and even the path, if you would. And so it is. That's true wisdom. Some people like to get all bloodied by bumping heads on the wall, but it's a lot better to be intelligent. Because when you're intelligent, you're rewarded. And you can do a lot more with rewards than you can with blood on your head. And that's what happens when you hit Satan head on. You've got to be smarter than he is. So, in your lifetime, when you think for a moment that God has just really rained on your parade, poor your little old life has just really messed up, and you better stop and look around. Is Father moving you? Has He got something else for you? He knows what He's doing. And you'd better believe that, or you better stop serving Him. You better know for a certainty that God knows what He's doing, and you better have the faith to trust Him. Because if you don't trust Him, you don't have faith. He knows what He's doing. Every prophecy that has ever been written has come to pass exactly as it's written, and I got some good news for you. It's going to continue that way. There are no surprises. Only the biblically illiterate are surprised, and let them be. They're really sharp in the ways of the world. Well, we are too. We beat the world at its own game. And some might say, well, I'll explain what you're saying by beat them. Well, we teach God's Word wide open, and God blesses us and rewards us in such a way that we're on over 100 television stations in this country alone. And I don't know if you understand it or not, country folk like us cannot afford that, all right? That takes millions of dollars. We don't have that. But you know what? His rewards do if you believe, if you know God is in control, and if you follow His way, if you allow Him to lead, then and then only will He come in and give you that shalom, which is to say, reward. He is that Father that rewards. Okay, let's go to Psalms 109, if we may. Remember that Christ Himself was rewarded evil for good. He healed people. He fed people. He brought us the truth. He fulfilled the Scripture. And He received crucifixion for all of His good deeds. But that in itself was whereby you today could have that salvation. You today can have the freedom and the forgiveness. I repeat, forgiveness for our own shortcomings. That we have within that the rewards that our Father brings. Psalms 109 and verse 1 reads, this is David, and I mean the world is down on him. And this is a prayer. If you ever get to this place, you might remember it. Hold not thy peace, O God of my praise. Psalms 109 verse 2. For the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are open against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. Beloved, the way of the world will do that to you when you do good works. You want to know and be, have it set in your mind that that's going to happen. But you must not let it interfere with what you do for our Father. That is to say, idle talk. It doesn't matter compared to the greatness of what you do in our Father's service. 3, they compassed me about also with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. I mean, there was no reason. I would do good, and poor old David, how he loved Saul, and our Lord, how he loved the children. And look what happened. 4, for my love, they are my adversaries, but I give myself unto prayer. Always remember that. Father's in control. He can handle it. He can cut it. He's can do. So when you've done all you can, turn to Him, and He will see that you are, you're through it. 5, and they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. And so it is oft times. Should that bother you? Every time your little old parade gets rained on, well, it doesn't make you happy necessarily. But if it's in the name of the Lord, and you're doing according to God's plan, you're being wiser than the serpent, the adversary, don't worry about it. Do you know something? Your Father has a record book, and it's written down. It's written there whereby it's going to be rewarded one way or the other. You know, judgment means both reward and punishment. That's the way it goes. You want to make certain that you stay on the side that is rewarded. Verse 6, set thou a wicked man over him, and let Satan stand at his right hand. And many people do that. And at the time that your trouble comes along is when sometimes, if you're not careful, Satan will stand beside you. And he'll talk to you. He'll say, you poor baby. Poor little baby, the whole world's against you, isn't it? Well, lean on my shoulder. I will help you. I will make everything rosy for you. How people like to hear that, you know? Be careful, my friend. 7, when he shall be judged, let him be condemned, and let his prayer become sin. And when somebody's not serving the Lord, that's exactly what their prayers are. You wasted them, friend. Satan's smarter than you are. Don't expect your prayers to be answered if that's the category in which you fall. Verse 8, let his days be few and let another take his office. Don't worry, it'll happen real soon. 9, let his children be fatherless and his wife a widow. This has to do with Queen Babylon. It has to do with the Kenites and so forth. You see, they are fatherless. Why? Their father's dead. He's the son of perdition. He's already been promised to die. Judged. 10. Let his children be continual vagabonds and beg. Let them seek their bread also out of their desolate places. Not the bread of life that you have. Be wiser than the serpent. It's terrible, terrible to get mired down in his murk. Verse 11, let the extortioner catch all that he hath, and let the stranger spoil his labor. You don't have to worry, it'll happen. You'll have holes in your basket so bad you won't know what happened or how you're going to make it over the next hill. Because Satan will still be saying, they're really jumping on you, aren't they? You really got it bad, haven't you, baby? And baby listens and says, poor me, baby. I've got it bad. Yes, I do. Well, you don't. We're the luckiest people in the world. We've got Him. We have power in Him. Because He always knows what's happening. 13, let His posterity be cut off. And they will be. And in the generation following, let their name be blotted out. That's that term, blotted out of the book. Are you in the book? It doesn't matter that you're on our church rolls or anything like that. We don't even keep such a thing necessarily. He keeps the records. You want to join this church? Talk to Him. I can't let you in. I can put you out. Not literally, only this building, which is not the church, okay? But He's the one. You got to talk to Him. And if you're good enough for Him, you can be my buddy anytime. We can be friends, and we'll work together, all right? But He's going to blot some people out. And in the Greek, that is a fantastic statement because it means not only to be erased from henceforth, but to be erased that never was. That's why you won't remember them, those that God does curse at the judgment. That's why you won't shed any tears for them. In your mind, they never existed. And that's how it will be with Satan and the Kenites. They never, that is to say, those of his children that do not accept Christ, if they do, fine. Fine, they become children of God. 15, let them be before the Lord continually that he may cut off the memory of them from the earth, because that he remembered not to show mercy, but persecuted the poor and needy man, that he might even slay the broken in heart. As he loved cursing, so let it come, let it fall unto him. As he delighteth not in blessing, so let it be far from him. I don't know about you, but I enjoy reward. I really do. I enjoy it when our Father rewards us, gives us new stations. I enjoy it when a Christian station bumps us off their station after they've heard me teach for a while and maybe I bring up the rapture doctrine. They say, we don't want that man on this station any longer. And green stuff talks, you know? You go to a secular station and buy time and continue teaching, and the people will switch over anyway. They'll leave the other. They're hungry, those that have ears to hear. Those are rewards. You might say, well, how are you rewarded in that? God's children, souls. I care about people's souls, that they have an opportunity to hear the truth, to know what they're up against. And do you know something? God knows that. And that's why He blesses us. Just as He blesses you in your own family life, when you follow that same set of principles of following His Word. Many families will allow, and here it goes now, many families allow Satan to even chow down with them. Because the family, that's one time they're all together. And maybe they don't even bless the food, you know, before they start. And pretty soon, as they're sitting there, idle ones, well, I want to know, just tell me one reason why you did this or that. And the digestive systems begin to boil. You know, the old gallbladder begins to dump extra acid. Well, I don't know that you have any right to ask me at a time like this, you know. And you're supposed to, that's just like old Job, you know, where the devil's persecuting him, you know. And God says, what do you think about my elect down there? Aren't they something? And Satan's over there, boy, they sure are. Look at the old gall acid running there in their systems and them fighting like little bitty children. They haven't got any more sense than to argue at the dinner table like little bitty children when that's the most special time of the day to have peace. You know? And there it goes. You blow it. And it can be so different. Now, I'm not telling anybody to be sugar-coated, so sugar-coated that it's sickening, all right? Now, I mean, let it come from here. What I'm saying, it's not wise. All right? It's dumb. Dumbest thing in the world is to argue in your own family above discussion. It's good to discuss and communicate. That's what avoids arguments. That's what prevents it, is to discuss and have an understanding. I know nobody needed that. I don't know why it even came up. I didn't plan on having it in here. But that can rob you of rewards. It can give you tummy aches, gas in the night. You know, you get an argument at supper time and go to bed and just start popping anti-acid things. And then that ruins up your immune system. And then you start sniveling because the pollen's flying, you know, because your system is off. Just like a chain action, and Satan just loves it. You know, think about it, all right? Now, where were we here? Let's go to the New Testament. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. And we're going to go to chapter 6 and pick it up with verse 17, okay? And verse 17 reads, and this is Christ's ministry. And He came down with them and stood in the plain in the company of His disciples and a great multitude of people, bunch of them, all right? Out of all Judea and Jerusalem. I mean, you got all sorts and all kinds all piled in here together. From the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, that's right over in bad country, old commercialism. Somebody probably slipped over from there to see if they could make a buck that day. Which came to hear Him and to be healed of their diseases. 18. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. Verse 19, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. Verse 20, now sharpen up for me. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and he said, blessed be ye poor, this means humble, for yours is the kingdom of God. Do you realize what you have when you have the kingdom of God? That is the king and his dominion. You're a part of it. That means you're a prince or a princess. And that's good. That's the way it should be. All right? But what does it mean, humble, that you care about his children? Not just self. All right? Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. You that weep, it's what's happening to our other people. You that are hungry, it doesn't mean for food. It means for truth, for God's touch in your life, that you crave it. And I can answer that for you. You are, you wouldn't be here, okay? Because that's all you're going to get here. I don't stroke folks just to make them feel good, all right? I teach God's Word. And you're hungry or you wouldn't be here for that. 22, blessed are ye when men shall hate you. That's a little bit hard to grasp. But if you know that God's in control and that He's right and a lot of the world is wrong, you can handle it, okay? And when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil, for, not for robbing a bank, not for doing something stupid, but for the Son of Man's sake. That is to say, working in His service. If anybody mocks you for that, don't worry about it. He knows, and He'll take care of it. Do you know, I am a firm believer in what He said, touch not mine anointed. And you can almost feel sorry for somebody that does say something slanderous about you because, boy, are they going to get popped. You know? If they're close enough, I might do it myself. But if they're far away, I don't worry about it. God will take care of it. I jest in a way, just a little bit of a way, okay? But that's the way it is. God takes care of His own. 23, rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. That's the way it is. Just exactly the way it is. Turn on over to the 12th chapter. All right? Now, I want to do a little something for the worry warts. Not that we have any in this group, thank God, that we do not have any worry warts in the group. But just in case that you might run across one someday, let's pick it up in verse 6, if we may. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings? I mean, that, we don't even have any money that small anymore. That won't buy anything. It can't do you any good, all right? And not one of them is forgotten before God. Now don't just read over that. Those ornery little sparrows that get in my Martin houses and are that you see that park over your carport and look at your car. And I mean, there could be sparrows everywhere. God knows about every one of them. Do you know what? He created them. They do have a purpose. I don't know just what it is, but He does. And maybe it's to test our patience sometime if you're in the poultry business or some other part where they really have a way of testing your patience. But God knows about them. 7. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. Don't read over that either. It's true. You're important to Father. Do you know that He created you? He created your soul. Do you know what for? For His pleasure. you really make his day. You really do when you tell him you love him. And when you say to him, Father, I don't know everything, so help me decide what I am to do for you. Lead me. It thrills him. And who do you think's going to get the reward? You are, of course. If you're trying, he's sure not going to give it to some funny bunny over here in the bushes that's plotting something or doing something else. That doesn't interest him, all right? He's coming to you. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. All the power in the universe. They're going to say, hey, did you see what Betty, Mary, and Helen did? Did you see what Bob, John, and Harry did? All of you. I mean, do you know that when you talk to the Father, they rejoice in heaven? They do. When you mean it from your heart, when you've really shucked that old cob down, and you're not trying to pun somebody, him especially, won't work. It thrills them. All right? Verse 9, but he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. That means man means flesh. That means Christ when he walked the earth in flesh. You could say something about him then, and it would be forgiven. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven. What does that mean? The man that walked the earth in ignorance or otherwise, many can blaspheme him. But you that know better, that's unforgivable. Because he loves you, that love itself is a reward. Because it's the most sought after thing by human beings, and sometimes they're not even aware of it. Just to be loved, to be needed, to be wanted. Well, friend, he wants you. That's why he created you. That's reward. And it goes so far in the fact that people see this in you. He plants that spirit in you. And people can see it when they're around you. You don't have to say it. If you have to tell somebody what a good person you are, you're probably not, okay? A good person is recognized for what they are and so forth, okay? Verse 11. And when they bring you unto the synagogues, and of course this is addressed to one particular people, God's elect, when they're delivered up before the synagogue of Satan. And unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing you shall answer or what you'll say. You're not supposed to. Why? You have faith to know that Christ himself will speak through you, through the Holy Spirit, that day. And whatever needs saying, you're going to say it. You're going to get it said. You don't have to be nervous. You don't have to be uptight. If you believe, it's going to happen. 12, for the Holy Spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say. That's the hour of temptation, when Satan's real tempting to a lot of people. I had a dream last night, and I don't talk about things like this often. Don't ask me if it was this or that or the other. I'm just going to tell you. I had this beautiful thing go. I never dream about princes or princesses. But I had a dream about this princess and this prince. And she laid a smacker on him. Mwah! Just like that. And that sucker turned into a frog. Just boom. And I laughed so hard it woke me up. I thought, now that's wrong. You're dreaming wrong. It's supposed to go the other way around. She's supposed to kiss the frog, and then it'll turn into a prince. You know, that's in there happily ever after. And it woke me up. And I laughed about it and went back to sleep, and then I woke up this morning and I thought, hey, that's what's about to happen to our people. Sweet Israel is about to kiss he that calls himself the Prince of Peace. And three unclean frogs are going to come out of his mouth. You know, I'm going to make a sermon on that someday. I think maybe the Father was maybe telling us something. I don't know. I know it was funny. It was sure funny. And it's not going to be funny seeing Israel wooing that Prince of Peace that's coming first, which is to say Satan, okay? Anyway, that's what they're delivered up. Now, continuing right on for the worrywart. Verse 22, therefore I say unto you, and this is straight from the Lord, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. Verse 23, the life is more than meat. And friend, you got to know that. I don't want you to walk out of here not knowing that. There's more to life than food and shelter. And the body is more than raiment. It's more than what you put on. That's the way your father... Now, we're looking at you from our Father's eyes. There's more to it than that. Consider the ravens. For they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? How much are you better than an old crow? God takes care of them old crows pretty good. They make it off with over half of my pecan crop every year. Just lickety-split, okay? They get along pretty good. Well, what Father is saying is, don't worry. See, that's what this is talking about. Be concerned. Work. Do the best you can. But it doesn't do any good to worry. Because if you trust Him, He's got the book. He knows what you've got coming. And if you've earned it, He's going to put it on you, friend. I know. He'll bless you. And you'll collect that reward. Verse 25, and which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? I really get a kick out of this in the Greek. It's not the way it reads in the English. It's a, which one of you can add 1 second to your life by worrying about it? And in a way, what it is, you know that worrying about the little things, it doesn't do any good. And if it doesn't do any good to worry about the little things, what in the world good could it do to worry about the big ones? In other words, if you can't get it done by worrying about little things, you're sure not going to get it done worrying about big things. Now, understand, this is after you've planned your life well and you do what you're supposed to do. Don't worry. God knows whose sack the cup is in. God knows whose book the account is written to. You want a blessing? Earn it. It's that simple. Because your Father is rich indeed. He's wealthy. He can sure make your day. And worry won't change anything except your health. All right? Okay, 26. If ye then be not able to do that which is least, why take ye thought of the rest? In other words, if you can't change the little things by worrying about it, don't even worry about the big things. And especially right now, if you can't handle what's going on now, what are you going to do when the spurious Messiah comes? Think about it. You sure don't want to do anything that would cause you to be locked away, as I've taught for 20 years. And we'd miss you that day. And that's what the plan is, I guarantee you. They're going to lock up as many as they can. Don't be stupid. Only stupid people are stupid. You're supposed to be wiser than the serpent. I tell you this, I've taught it for many years. It is going to happen, and it is a planned thing. All those that are silly, they got a place for you. Hey, enjoy. 27. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Do you know something? Don't take for granted, literally, that means you're not supposed to work, you're not supposed to sow. All it's saying is using that as an analogy to say, hey, I can make you pretty. And I think he's done a good job of it on you all. I think you all look just fine. Right? regardless of what you're doing. You look great. 28. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will He clothe you, O ye of little faith? Do you have the faith? Hey, it comes down to that, my friend. That's what I'm telling you. Do you trust Him or have you got to do it yourself? You do what you can do and then turn it over to a higher power, all right? 29, and seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. That means don't have a worried mind. To worry is to doubt every promise of God. It is. It's real easy to worry. I've seen a time or two in this ministry when if I had let myself, I can remember one time when we were $160,000 in debt and we hadn't even gotten started yet. And I never allowed the church to go in debt, but it was because I listened to a broadcaster that said we could lease an uplink. And after it was already in place, it was supposed to cost us $2,000 a month, which would have been no problem. We found out, hey, no company will lease things to Arkansas because they can't charge but 10% interest in this state. And we had to cough up big bucks. It meant my home, some other people's home, because we'd already done it. And I know. Now, I'm not saying I'm a Moses, all right, but I still know what Moses felt like when he walked down to that water and it wasn't parted yet, all right? Because to me, $160,000 was like, you know, where are you going to get the money? You know, and we had to come up. We had 1 week. And thank God for some good people and people that are not afraid to lay it on the line. And 6 or 8 months, I've even forgotten, God took care of it. We burned that sucker. I'm talking about the note on the $160,000. And today, this ministry takes in a lot more than that in 1 week. And we never beg. He rewards, my friend. When you trust, don't be of little faith. No. No. He's in control. He's right here. It's the kingdom. That's the king and his dominion. Why don't you want to be a part of it? Who wouldn't want to be a part of it? Think about it. You don't have to worry. Trust him. 29, and seek not what we got that. Neither to be doubtful mind. 30, why? Because after you've done your best, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. If you've got a little old toddler out here, and that little old toddler needs a drink of water, and that you know he's hurting, dehydrating that child is, are you going to get that child a drink? Of course you're going to get that child a drink. I mean, in places, I don't care how far you have to walk or whatever you have to do to squeeze moisture out of something, you're going to feed that baby. Well, your Father is going to take care of you. He's going to. He'll add all those things onto you when you do your will. In closing, Revelation 22. I love this. I'm having a lot more fun with this than I thought I was going to. I'm just enjoying it to pieces. Revelation 22, and you know, that's almost the end. That's the last chapter in the Bible. It's not hard to find. Just flip her to the back and you got it, all right? And verse 12 of chapter 22 reads, "And behold," or you look here, "I come quickly. And my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." Now, there are rewards then of the kingdom, but there are rewards and blessings now. Okay? Don't look at, be sure and analyze tenses when we have been studying this morning about blessings. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. In other words, there ain't no more, friend. He's it. And He loves you. He's got it all. And He wants to share to those that deserve reward. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of into the city. Do you want to go through? Well, what if they slam that gate in your face? Sorry, that's a cull. Blot that and out. Think about it, okay? We don't want that. All right? For without are dogs, sorcerers, and whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. He is that first light. There's another that claims to be the morning star. And that's the spurious Messiah. I told you what the word in the Hebrew, shalom, I'll pronounce it more clearly. Do you know what that word is in the Greek that he says he's bringing with him? I find it ironic also. It's mythos. Let me say it slower. Mythos. Just like, you got it? What about your rewards? Mythos? Mythos, mythos? That's what it means. A lot of people are going to miss those if they're not careful. Miss those rewards. The word in the Greek again for rewards is mythos. Spelled M-I-S-T-H-O-S. Pronounced mythos. It's up to you. They're yours. All you have to do is have the faith to accept them. To believe and be blessed. To love and work hard for Him and have everything added on to you that you need. God knows what you need to do His work, and He'll give it to you. Well, it would be real nice, and that would be so simple if we all didn't mess up every once in a while, and we do. But that's when a wise person repents and gets cracking, all right? We all do. Just when you catch yourself in that place, repent, but most of all, never, never lose faith in Him. That even though it may look like that He's sending you to a life of slavery, as the Israelites were when the things were found in their sacks of corn, couldn't understand, looked like the end of the trail. They could just say, I give up. Can't go on. That's not faith. God knows your predicament. God knows your heart and your mind. And so love Him because He has made all this possible. And He's made it possible for even you to repent and partake of it. All right? In your daily life. Is it a practice? Well, life in a sense is a practice of, it's called maturity. As you go along, you know, you kind of, when you were hot and hostile, sometimes you're kind of mellow and can be reasoned with. I'm thinking of Irishmen, okay? It's kind of the way they are. They'll fly off, boy, just and be mad for 5 minutes, and then you couldn't ask for better people for the next 6 months. But about every 6 months, there's that 5 minute stretch, boy, they're real loopers. They'll get in there and mix it up, and then feel so bad about it, go around apologizing to everybody and feel worse about it than anybody, what they said and so forth. Well, what I'm saying is, we're a family, and you're God's children. Don't miss those rewards. Father, we thank You for the privilege of gathering together. Be with us this day. We ask it in Jesus. Be with, Father, those that are not feeling well at this time. Lift them up, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.